choices. But we've been able to see him get a chance to do it again. And, you know, in life, we don't always get that opportunity. And so what this series that we're in called Better is all about, it's about when life does give us choices, that we make the right choice, that we're equipped with the right information to be able to not have to do things over or wish we could do things over, but to be able to do it right to begin with. And so we're just looking in the scriptures and finding ways that things that help us to be able to do that. And we're looking at scripture that has the word better in it. And we started in week one, and we talked about how that one day in God's house, one day in his courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. That's better to be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be in the tents of the wicked. And we went from that to the next week. We talked about it's better to have one handful with tranquility than to have two handfuls with toil and feel like we're chasing the wind. And then last week we talked about the fact that wisdom is better than gold. And that understanding and from that wisdom is better than silver. And so we've been talking about how things can be better in our lives. And this week we're going to look at how to have a better name, to have a good name, and the things that it takes to be able to do that. And so we're going to look at some scripture. We're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It's going to be our main verse for the day. And what we've been trying to do with these verses every week is to begin to memorize them, to be able to help us not just hear them, but be able to internalize them so that when we have choices, these are the things that drive our choices, that the Word of God is what drives it. And so here's Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." So what I want to do is, as we're trying to learn these and get these internalized, is that we say them together. So would you just say this with me on the count of three? One, two, three. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Let's do that again. All ready? Here we go. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. All right, that's Proverbs 22, verse 1. And so this week, I want you to kind of chew on that. And last week, I challenged you to begin to read a proverb a day with me. And so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you were able to get on that, you've already got some wisdom going because you've been able to learn from just reading a proverb a day. And so if you haven't been on that, catch up with us. I went back and started on to make the proverb match the day of the month so that I'm not real smart, and that helps me kind of keep up with it. And so today we want you to be able to do that and track along and just begin to learn. But here's the thing. A good name is more desirable than great riches. And to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. It's a neat thing. The fact that the Bible talks so much about silver and gold is that it wants to equate that with great wealth and riches. And for us today, you know, we don't necessarily go after gold and we don't necessarily go after silver, but we certainly go after money. We certainly go after stuff, all kinds of things that we can have. Nothing wrong with having stuff. You need to hear me very clearly. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with having new stuff. Nothing wrong with having expensive stuff. Nothing wrong with having a lot of stuff. As long as we always keep that in perspective of what it is that who is number one in our lives and where it all comes from and who it all belongs to. And so that's a really important piece that we learned. But as we look at this, the Bible says that to have a good name is better than all of that stuff. To be esteemed, to be looked upon in a good light is better than all of that stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that we put on a good show. Doesn't mean we put on a good act. Doesn't mean that we dress up the outside and forget about the inside. Because the reality is, as we're going to learn and as we're going to focus on it, it's really what's inside that matters. And we know that God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And so we've got to be willing to really let him work on that in us and to be be focused on that. The Bible says that it's better to have a good name than all of that. And so it kind of brings us to the question, if we have a good name, that means that people know us. Because that's what our name signifies. It's to be known by. And so let me ask you this question, and don't answer it out loud, but just let this sink in. If I was to ask the people around you that know you, if I said, what are they known for? What would they say about you? What would people say that you are known for? It's a really important question that I think we need to know the answer to if we're really truly going to be all that God wants us to be. If we're going to truly aspire to be, to achieve the purpose that He created us for and all that, that we need to know what we're known for. At the same time, when we think about that, what tends to happen is we when we think about what we're known for, and it may not be the best in the world, we often think that we have to be known for our perfection. And can I just spoil it for all of us in the room? For those of you that think this, you're not perfect, okay? I know. It's a shock, isn't it? You know, I had to tell myself that today, and I'm like, I laughed at myself. No, it's true. We're not perfect. None of us are. And sometimes we think to have a good name that if we're not perfect, we don't have a good name. But that's not what God's looking for, because here's the truth of it, that a good name doesn't mean you're perfect, but being perfected by the one who is. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it should mean that you're being perfected by the one who is. And who is that? It's Jesus, right? He's the perfect one. He came, he lived a perfect, sinless life on earth, and he is perfect. He is without any errors or any mistakes. He's Jesus. But he's the one who it should be in our lives perfecting us, and our good name should come out of that relationship with him. A good name doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that you're being perfected by the one who is. A good name is better than riches, is better than silver and gold. See, here's the thing. Our name sticks out, and we want it to represent good stuff about us. So recently, we had the opportunity here at URI to host the annual senior ball. Now, that's not for high school seniors. That's for the elderly seniors in our community. And a lot of those come from the area nursing homes. And so they were able to come here. And Kelly, my wife, works for Stanley Manor. She's the activity director there. And she was responsible for it this year. And so we hosted it here. And tables are all up in here. And it was a great setup. It was just an amazing thing. It was this Hollywood theme. And they got to come in and have their pictures made. And just all kinds of stuff going on here. And so we hosted them. They had a great time. It was really awesome. The paper came and they wrote an article about us, or about the event, and they mentioned us in it. And see, you know, a good name is important, right? And a good name that people spell right is important as well. Because see, what happened was they wrote this really cool article about us, but they misspelled the church's name. Now, I believe that if you can spell URI right, you can spell anything. I mean, if you can spell URI, the rest of it's cake. But they misspelled community, and so it just got all kind of jacked up in there. You know, that's your snap. I love them, and I'm thankful for them, but, man, they need spell check. I'm just saying. But anyway, so the reality is that, you know, we kind of did that. We didn't do it for the publicity. We didn't really do it for all of that, but we did do it because we want our name known as a place that is part of our community. We want people to know that this is a place that cares about what happens. We don't just care about the young people. We don't care about the middle age. We care about all the people, especially the seniors who oftentimes get forgotten in our community. And so it was important that people, you know, hear that and know that. And I'm sure they'll get that out of it. But a good name is important. And it kind of got me when it was wrong. But, you know, God just reminded me that, man, he's in charge and I don't need to worry about all of that. But the reality is his names are important. And so let me just help you understand that. Think about the name Billy Graham. When I say that, you automatically think really probably positive things. I mean, greatest evangelist of our time, you know, just an amazing man of God that when you hear his name, you think about all the messages that he's preached, all the souls that have been saved, and all the people that have grown in their relationship because of him, and all of those things. That's a positive thing. But if I say the name Adolf Hitler, you think something pretty much the exact opposite, don't you? You think about the Holocaust. You think about the meanness and all of the stuff that are associated with his name. If I say Mother Teresa, we think positive things. And we think somebody who did the things that God tells us to do in the scriptures, who lived that out in the real world, in the setting that many of us have never even seen in our lives, but she lived out the things that God teaches right there. But I say Osama bin Laden, you say, again, the exact opposite. You think of the terrorism and the terrible things that come out of that. And so names automatically, they carry things with them, and we associate things with each one of them. So a good name is better to have because it carries things with it. Here's what Socrates said. He said, "Regard your name as the richest jewel you can possibly possess." Guard your name, regard it as the richest jewel you can possibly possess. The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. Anybody here ever put on a fake smile? Anybody ever put on the fake airs of, yeah, everything's good, when inside things are just falling to pieces? I think all of us, if we're honest in the room, we've all done that. And so this saying, what that does is it's not only, it backs up the scriptural teaching that what's on the inside is way more important than on the outside. That we should want what people see on the outside to match what's going on in the inside. Though if we're going to put on a good show out here, then we need to make sure that the show's really good inside as well. God says that he looks at the heart instead of the outer appearance. And so I love the thought that our name and what we want people to think about us is really what we should endeavor, what we should work so hard for, to be inside. And sometimes that effort is extreme on the outside, but yet we totally forget about what's going on the inside, and we should work hard for that, because a good name, it's more valuable than any wealth we could ever have here. So why is a good name better? Why is it important to have it? Why is it better? The first reason is this. If you got your program, you can follow along with us on there. There's some blanks to fill in, but here's what it says. A good name instills confidence. It instills confidence. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely." That means when you walk with your word as true, when people can trust you, and when they know that you are truthful and you tell the truth, that when you say something, it's got integrity to it, it's got stability to it, that you can be secure. Here's the thing. I think so many of us, oftentimes, we like to play in the cookie jar of life. We like to go and try to sneak the cookies out and hope nobody knows about it. And I got to tell you can tell I like cookies. And I've gotten caught with my hand in the cookie jar before. You know, I remember my grandmother catching me before, you know, going in there, and I thought I could be silent, you know. I thought she was too old to hear me. But we all know that grandmas never go deaf. There's just, I don't know, God gives them some kind of sonar or something. They just know. And so I would get caught taking the cookies out of the cookie jar, you know, or going in the cabinet where she hid the cookie jar, trying to keep me from getting in the cookie jar, you know, and she'd always hear it. But I think that's the way we are in life. We think we can go into the cookie jar of life and we can pull out whatever we want and do whatever we want, and that we can put it back and we can move the cookies around a little bit so they still look full, you know, kind of stack them up a little bit. If you need, you know, anybody needs some lessons I can teach you. I, you know, pull them to the front and it still looks kind of full. I do it. So the reality is that we think we can do that in life. that if we keep the appearance good, we're okay. But the truth is, we're going to get ourselves caught with a hand in the cookie jar of life sometimes. Things just aren't going to go. Sometimes, you know what we're going to do? We're going to write down on our timesheet that we worked 40 hours when we really only worked 30. And we're going to get caught. We may do it once or twice, or we may do it a whole bunch. But I promise sooner or later it's going to catch up. But we may tell our spouse that we're going to be somewhere, and we think he is just clueless, and sooner or later we're going to get caught somewhere else. And we may tell somebody that, oh, that relationship, oh, we're just friends. But sooner or later it's going to come out that you are a little bit more than friends. Oh, no. I don't know why people would look at that on their phone or their computer. But sooner or later we're going to find out that you're going to get caught, that there's more on your computer than you thought anybody would ever find. You just forgot to delete that history that one time, and it's going to come out. You see, we're going to get caught with our hands in the cookie jars. We try to do that. But here's the thing, is if we walk with integrity, then we can walk securely. We don't have to worry, because what happens is that life of hoping that nobody catches us and nobody looks in the cookie jar or counts the cookies, that life of being worried about what happens if it does, the stress that we put on ourselves hoping nobody ever catches us, man, it wears us out and it destroys us. It destroys the relationships around us. It destroys everything that goes on. We can't concentrate because we're so worried we're going to get caught. And listen, some of us in the room today, you know exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm saying. I've been there. And so the thing of it is that if we walk with integrity, though, we can walk securely. We can walk without all that on us. And we can walk with our head up and our chin up, and the outside can match what's going on the inside. Because a good name, when we walk with integrity, listen, we can be secure. We can know that things are right. God holds us to this place that reminds us of a good name. Being more important than riches and gold. Being more important than relationships and all of the things that we find ourselves digging into. I'm telling you that a good name is better. And if you'll walk with integrity and get that crap, I said that, sorry if that offends anybody, but that's what it is. If you get the crap out of your life and be able to focus in on the good that God has for you and the way that He wants you to live and to be able to walk with integrity, then you can walk securely, not having to worry about who catches you or whatever, because you won't. There is nothing to be caught. The truth is this, is that a good name instills in confidence. The second thing is this. A good name speaks for you. A good name speaks for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, we see Solomon meeting up with the Queen of Sheba. And Solomon, we learned last week, you know, the wisest man to ever live. You know, I know some people always say, oh, Jesus was the wisest man to ever live. I'm talking about the wisest man who wasn't God, okay? That's kind of a, I don't want to say, it's not cheating. You can't say Jesus cheated, but if you're God, you already know everything, so nobody can be more wise. But the wisest man to ever live was Solomon, because he asked for it. Remember, he asked for God said, ask for whatever, and I'll give it to you. He said, I want wisdom, and he gave it to him. He gave him everything else too, but he gave him that because he asked for it. And so here's Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, having this interaction with the Queen of Sheba. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, it says, when the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. Now, women have some hard questions, right, guys? True. You know, does this dress make my butt look fat? You know, that's a hard question. I'm just saying. You know, I wish I knew Solomon could. So he's the wisest guy. I wish he could answer that for me. How do you answer it? I mean, I know, but you know. Anyway, that's, you know, think about it. We get asked some hard questions sometimes because they got hard questions. But listen to this. It says she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Now, not only do they ask us hard questions, guys, they got a lot on their mind. So we know Solomon was not just wise, but he was patient. Because it says she gave him all of it. And man, I don't know about you, but I've gotten all that's on my wife's mind, and it wasn't quick or pretty, you know. It was hard. And so here's this queen, man. She grills Solomon because he's supposed to be so wise and supposed to know so much. She gives it all to him. You know, please don't send me any ugly emails. You know, I just don't mean on any of that stuff. So, but the truth is she gave it all to him. And so when it was all said and done, she says, listen, I'm going to give you all this because I've heard about how wise you are. I've heard these things about you. And then here's what happens in verse 5. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told to me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. Your reputation, your good name can speak for you. What people say about you, what you're known for, can speak volumes about you. When people hear your name and they hear what it stands for and what it's all about, it can say incredible things about you. You ever met somebody that you felt like you just know already because you've heard people talk about them so much? You know, like you think it's almost like you're just friends with somebody because you've just heard somebody else talk so much about them. Like, I'm Billy Graham. I feel like I know Billy. You know, I feel like I should be able to just call him, hey, Bill, what's up? You know, because I've heard so much about him and read so much about him. I've never got a chance to meet him, but I love to read the accounts of how God moved in his ministry and all of those things and the things that he stands for and all of that. I've read that so that I almost feel like I know him personally. And we do that so often with people. Names mean a lot about us. They say a lot about us, and they speak volumes about us. A good name, it's better than riches. It's better than silver or gold. It's anything that we could possess. A good name is important. I think about people like Billy Graham and Martin Luther King and people with names that we all hear. And I think when they were born and their parents named them those names, that they ever think that those names could stand for what they stand for? I mean, I'm just thinking, did Osama bin Laden's mom name him Osama bin Laden knowing that he was going to be on the you know, FBI's 10 most wanted list and that he would grow up to do she never dreamed that probably for him. I think of people who've done positive things and what did their parents dream of for them when they named them that? I think about that for my girls when they grow up. What are their names going to mean and what are they going to be known for? But I don't have any idea. I don't have any clue of what that would ever look like. I know what I want it to be, but what is it really going to be? So a good name is important. It instills confidence. The name speaks for us. What does your name speak about you? What when people hear that name, hear your name, what do they think? And then 3, a good name inspires others. It inspires others. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's talking about being a follower of Christ and what it means. And there's this you almost sense something in there when he writes this sentence. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Because there's this sense of we can easily lead people astray. We can, you know, if we're not following Christ and people are following us, man, we can create a mess. But Paul wants people to understand that, listen, you can follow me, but follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the same for me. Listen, I hate that I have to say this, but the reality of it is that I'm going to let you down sometime. I'm not perfect. I can't be everywhere at once. I am going to let you down at some point if we spend enough time together. It's just going to happen. And I would never do it intentionally. I would never do it to harm you. I would never, ever want you to not think well of me, or to, but it's just going to happen. And I don't just give up and quit because it will. I still do my best for it not to. But it's just going to happen that at some point I'm going to let you down. But the reality is, as I follow Christ, as I do my best to follow him, then you come follow me as your pastor. You don't try to follow me because you want to be perfect, because I'm not taking you there. I'll take you to the one that is, but I can't take you to the perfect place because I'm not perfect. But the reality of all of that sinks in, that you look at it and you say, you know what? If I'm following Christ, then others can come and follow me, and my name can be part of inspiring other people. As I do the things that Christ wants me to do, as I do the things that Christ does, as I do everything possible to be as much like him, and if people follow me, then listen, my name, my good name, my better name is going to be there because, not because of me, but because of who I'm following. A good name inspires others if we're truly following the one who is the one to be followed. Now, some of us look at ourselves and we wonder, will people really know who we are? Will people really, will people look at me and want to follow? Listen, there are a lot of people who become known for a lot of things that we forget pretty easily, don't we? Anybody know who won the best actor last year? Anybody know who won the Super Bowl in 2001? Anybody know who the MVP was of that game? Anybody know who won the Super Bowl last year? Anybody know who didn't win the Super Bowl last year? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, you knew I was getting there. Anyway, sorry. I know who didn't too. You don't have to say it. I know my Cowboys didn't either. But anyway, we have won five though. But the reality is we forget those things, don't we? And that year, like everybody could have told you who won it. 2001, we could have, that year, everybody would have known. But now, we don't even know that. I mean, we forget those things pretty easily, don't we? The thing of it is we don't become known for those things around other people. We don't make a name so that we can stand out among millions of people. We do it so that we can stand out for an audience of one. We want our good name to be important and stand out so that we can stand out for Christ. And then allow him to bring the people behind us who then begin to know our name because of the opportunity that we have to interact with them. It's important that we know that. Let me just ask you, anybody know Dave Clemens? My dad's in the room. I know he does. Anybody know Lawrence Clapp? Anybody know Kevin Bailey? See, none of you know those guys. But you need to know that they've had an important influence in your life. See, Dave Clemens was the man who I met who led me to Christ. Lawrence Clapp was my pastor at the time, who also had a huge influence in my life. And Kevin Bailey was my best friend who introduced me to all of them. And see, those guys, you don't know their name, but today you've been here hearing the gospel presented and preached. You've heard the word of God presented and taught because of the influence of those gentlemen. You need to know that their name, and to me, it is extremely important. Their good name is extremely important, and because of that, to you, it becomes important as well because of the influence. You see, the name that we have should inspire others. Those guys inspired me to a place to be able to follow what God was trying to do in my life and to lead me into ministry. And it took a long time, but God won, obviously, and it just took me a while to give into it. But the truth is that when we understand that we have a good name, when we follow the things that God wants for us to do, and when we seek to be all that he wants us to do, we have the opportunity to inspire others to do the same. Your good name is important. The better name is important because of it inspiring other people. And maybe you're sitting here today and saying, but Ron, you just don't know my story. You don't know all the things about me. You don't know the things that I've been through, and you don't know what's gone on in my lives. You don't know the things that I've done, because I'm sitting here thinking, Ron, what if I don't have a good name? What if my name isn't good among the people that I know? What if I'm not known for good things? Maybe you feel like the church in Sardis here in Revelation 3:1 that we're it says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Maybe you feel like today that you have this reputation I'm here, but you're really dead inside. Maybe you have a reputation that people don't think so highly of. And so you're thinking, but I don't have a good name, Ron. What do I do? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to feel welcome. Welcome home. Because guess what? The rest of us fall into the same place that you do. The Bible says this in Romans 3:23 that we have all fallen short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That means that every single one of us in here on our own, by ourselves, and we don't have a good name. That we all make mistakes. That means that Ron Laughlin makes mistakes and sins. That means that Pastor Eddie Connell makes mistakes and sins. That means that Noah Medlin, who leads our worship, that means that he makes mistakes and sins. That means that each one of us in the room, because when we say all, guess what? That's all. That's everybody. We've all fallen short. So on our own, we all have it. So it's we're just all part of a big old group, right? Here's the reality of it, though. Here's where that all changes. It changes all when we understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. You see, we all fall short, so we're all in need of a good name. And when Jesus comes into our life, when we recognize who he is the perfecter who takes the imperfect and does a work on us. Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, gave his life on a cross, a horrible, painful, bloody death, so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. His life paid the price for our sin. So that we, knowing that we couldn't do it on our own, he came and did it for us on that cross. He was taken off the cross, put into a tomb, and on the third day, God, with all his power and love, raised him from the dead so that we could not only be forgiven when we accept his sacrifice for us, but that because of his resurrection, but that we could have eternal life as well and spend forever forgiven in the presence of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Actually, you know what? I don't know what you're thinking. Because, see, I just told us this. Listen, I said that because of Jesus' death, that you and I, for all of us who have a bad name on our own, that Jesus came, who has the greatest name, and he gave his life on a cross for us and paid the price with his life so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, set free from all of that, and have a good name. And you all sat there like an empty chair. I don't know about you, but that jacks me up to think about the fact that God loved me enough that he would give his perfect son for my imperfect self. Listen, I know you don't live with me, but I do. And man, I am not perfect. I got a bunch of mistakes. I got a bunch of imperfections. And Jesus came and died so that I could be as close to perfect as possible. I won't be perfect until I stand before him. But he came and paid the price so I could spend forever with him. And that just stinking excites me. And for you, if you recognize that you had a bad name and you came to a place to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross and that he has set you free from your sin, listen, that ought to make you get up and run. that ought to get you up and excited enough that you recognize the fact that, man, Jesus gave everything for me so that I could give up my bad name and have a good name, that I don't have to wallow in what I've been wallowing in, that I can stand up tall and keep my chin up and my chest out, not to boast, but to just know that somebody loved me enough to give everything for me. I don't know about you, but that just makes me excited. And I got to believe that part of the problem in our church is that we hear the gospel. You see, one of the parts of why we exist is to help people develop a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I have good news and I go tell somebody, I don't tell them like this. I don't say, you know what, I got some good news. Let me tell you, this great thing happened to me. No. When you got good news, you bust down the door. We went to Pastor Gabe's. I still call him Pastor Gabe, but he'll always be Pastor Gabe to me. He's Gabe Elizabeth to some of you and whatever. But Gabe, who was our student pastor and our associate here, got married yesterday. And we went to that thing, man, and it was awesome. And he was like so excited and all that. It was awesome to see how excited he was yesterday. And it was because he got married. And listen, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we become the bride. We become the bride of Christ, and that he's going to come back for the bride. And so for us, as we should be as excited about that wedding, more excited about that wedding than we are about any kind of earthly wedding. And we were excited for him, and we were jacked up, and we were pumped up, and man, it was a great time. But listen, we come into church, though, and then we sit in our seats, and we hear the good news, the gospel proclaimed, and we just don't get excited about it. This is not even in my notes. But the reality of all of this is that when we hear the good news, it's got to begin to excite us. Because there are people outside of this building who have yet to hear it and accept it. And the truth of that is that if they hear it, if they don't hear it, and if they never accept it, or they hear it and don't accept it, whatever, if they take their last breath without that good news, they spend forever separated from the God who loved them enough to give all of that for them. But they just never accepted it for themselves. And the Bible's very clear about that, that if someone dies without accepting Jesus, then they spend forever separated from him in a place of torment called hell. And that ought to bother us. As much as the good news of where we're going to spend eternity should excite us, the terrible news of where somebody could spend eternity separated from God should break our hearts. And it should challenge us to find ways to let the gospel permeate everything that we do in life. Whether we're working, whether we're playing, whether we're just hanging out at home, it should excite us. And so today, I just got to ask you, what are you excited about the fact that Jesus loved you that much? I'm not begging anybody to pound their Bibles. I'm not begging anybody to get big signs and stand on the corner and yell at people. I don't even know that that's even effective at all. But what I do know is that when we live with a good name and walk securely in our integrity, that people will see that there is something different about us, and they'll want to have that in their own life, and we'll have an opportunity to tell them what it is about us that separates us. And so today, I got to ask you, what are you known for? Are you known for your excitement about what God has done in your life? Or are you just known for being just being you? People need to know why your name is better. Not because you're boastful, not because you're proud of yourself, but because you have the good news of Jesus living inside of you. Here's the thing we need to know about what our future looks like and how our name is important. You are creating tomorrow's legacy today. What people know about you today is what they'll know about you tomorrow. And it's what they'll know about you forever. Do they know that you love God? Do they know that you belong to Him through His Son Jesus? I close with this. I heard a pastor tell a story of a funeral that he did for a young girl. She was in her 20s. She passed away. And he went and he met with the family. And he said, well, tell me about her. Tell me what she was known for. Family and friends kind of sat around for a few minutes. Finally, somebody said, well, she was funny. Oh, okay, funny. Yeah, she's funny. She liked to be funny. Okay. Well, tell me some more about her. And they sat there for a few more minutes, and finally somebody said, she loved hot sauce. She hated on everything. And the pastor said, after those several painful moments of sitting with that family while they tried to think of something that she was known for, the two things that they came up with was she was funny and she liked hot sauce. One day somebody's going to sit with your family and they're going to ask the question, what were they known for? I gotta hope it's more than you were funny and you liked hot sauce. God's calling us to a place where that people know that we're known for who we are in Him. And if that was you today, could your family honestly say they were known for how much they love Jesus Christ? If that's not what you would be known for, my prayer is that today, as we take a few moments and just reflect on that, that you'll be willing to just let go. Maybe you've been resisting allowing yourself to have that relationship with Him, where your good name could be that Jesus is at the center of who you are. That your life reflects Him at every turn. That you're not perfect, but you're being perfected by the One that is. God, we pray today that as we reflect, God, I know that maybe today's message is a little heavy. Maybe today's one of those messages where it's like, oh man, wish I didn't have to sit through that. But God, today the truth is that we are going to be known for something. God, that we're going to be known for our walk with You. Either that it was there or that it wasn't. That there was a time where we acknowledged You and accepted You and allowed You to be Lord of our lives or we didn't. And so, God, today I pray that you would instill the confidence of the gospel in each one of us. That when we hear the good news that Jesus gave His life for us, and because of that, that we can be set free from our sin and the bondage that holds us down and holds us where we are, that takes our name and twists it around, God, that You can. That when we hear the good news of how You've made it possible to be forgiven and set free from all of that, God, that excites us. And it motivates us to not just sit still, but God, that it motivates us to want to tell other people. That God, that it motivates us to want to be willing to just live out who You are in our lives. God, the weight of heaven and the weight of hell are extreme. And the truth of them both should motivate us, God. So I pray today that wherever we are and whatever's going on, God, that we would be willing to just allow You to move in our lives. God, if you need to motivate us and excite us and get us ready, then God, that's what You would do. God, if it's today that there's somebody we need to go and tell and that our name that you've established in us needs to go before us. And God, I pray that you would allow that to happen and that we would be willing to follow through. God, I pray for so many faces in this room that I know are struggling with different things in their lives, God, that whether it's relationships or finances or just your will, where you want them to be, God, I pray that in these moments that we would let go and just allow you to show us where it is you want us to be. God, that you would move in those areas and that you would free us from being able to be held back because we just can't let go and let you be who you are. So God, move in this place. God, don't let us walk out of here the same, but may we walk out exactly the way that you want us to be. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.